Now, this morning I wanted to look at two of our readings. First, we're going to look at a dream, and then we're going to look at weeds and gardening. But first, we want to look at this famous dream. This is one of the famous dreams in our scriptures. And I think that it's worth spending a little time considering what it is that this dream is about. First of all, we have Jacob. He has left home and he is traveling to Haran to be with his mother's relatives. And along the way, the sun goes down and he goes to sleep. But he finds a stone that is in that place to use as a pillow. And I fervently hope that he covered it with something nice and soft. And he dreamed. And this dream is one that we know well. It's a ladder that goes from the earth to heaven. And on that ladder are angels going up and down, angels from God. And God stands next to Jacob and says, I am the God of Abraham and of your father Isaac, and I will be with you wherever you go. And you will have many descendants, and all the families of the world will be blessed through you and through your descendants. And I will also bring you home later. Now that is a promise, and it's also pointing Jacob to go forward with his life, and that at the end he would be brought home again. Now, we may take a look at Jacob for a minute. He is certainly not a typical hero, is he? He's no Superman. He's not someone who saved anybody. In fact, he's this decidedly deceitful person who deceived his brother twice. He stole his birthright, and then he stole his father's blessing on him with the help of his mother. If you want to read that part, you have to go back and read what happened before he left home. So he had to clear out and go somewhere else. And that's what brings him to his trip to Haran, which is where his mother, Rebecca, was from. And he will find an uncle there. And in the next 2 weeks, you're going to hear more of Jacob's story. And I will invite you to look forward to that because it's an exciting story. Now, I want us to remember ourselves. We often have dreams. Mine are usually not quite that dramatic, but occasionally we get nudged by God in our sleep, in our dreams. And we have to remember that God is with us, just as God promised to be with the people of God to Jacob. God remains with us, whether we're dreaming or not. And now I want to take a look at weeds. We have in our gospel reading sort of a continuation of the gardening suggestions last week about planting seeds. Well, now we've planted seeds with good seed, and weeds have grown up. And this farmer who planted those seeds had slaves who said, well, there's weeds coming up in the midst of our wheat. This used to be called the parable of the tares and the wheat, by the way. But we don't usually use that term for weeds. But tares were a special kind of weed that looked an awful lot like wheat. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I would plant any vegetables, tomatoes, carrots, anything at all, weeds would appear. And sometimes in our flower gardens, they appear. And it can be darn difficult to tell which plants, when you first plant them, are the weeds and which are not the weeds. And I've been known to pick a few good flowers out when I was intending to take weeds out. So that is a challenge in itself. And with our own farming and with our own gardening, we can really run into problems trying to stamp out weeds, can't we? And we know the results of that in our whole story of our environment. But when you look at this parable, it's not really about weeds at all, is it? It's got several layers. It's about us. It's about people. It can be about the whole environment we're in. We'll start there. That we're facing evil. The weeds represent evil. And how do we get rid of, how do we pull up the weeds that we consider to be evil? Well, I think this parable reminds us that it is not us who gets to decide who's a weed and who isn't. It is not our job to judge anyone else, because mainly this is a parable about people. We're not considering the sheep and the cattle here. We're considering ourselves. And there's yet another layer in that you can take it to look at yourself. Don't we all have traits we'd like to stamp out? Don't we all have little habits that we just wish weren't there? Now, I realized that that is something we cannot do a long time ago. I had a grandmother, for instance, who was extremely difficult to get along with. But during the 1929 crash, you remember that? You remember hearing about it. My great-grandfather, who had a lot of property and lost it all, and it was my grandmother, his daughter-in-law, my grandfather's wife, who was able to go to work as a milliner and carry the family through the Depression. Now, that may not have been quite single-handedly, but it certainly made a difference. So her ingenuity, her toughness came in handy during tough times. And if we look at ourselves, the very traits we don't like may be the traits we need the most when something goes wrong. So we can't judge ourselves either, can we? So the whole message here is we have to trust in God to remove those things we don't need in our lives and to teach us how to live with the things that are present and trust that He's going to carry us through all of what we're facing in the world around us and in ourselves to a better place. And that is exactly the message we got in the first reading, isn't it? That God is going to be with Jacob through all that he had to live through. Just wait, you'll hear about it. And all that he did through to going home. And we get to hear about his going home and meeting that brother in a couple of weeks, too. So we, too, can trust that God is going to be with us. And it's not up to us to do everything. Thanks be to God.